Father, we thank you for those words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight, we'll be sharing our teaching on walking by Ruach, which is power. And Ruach is the Hebrew word 7307. It means a breath, wind, and obviously it's always associated with, in many cases, with air in motion, which is power. It comes from, all Hebrew nouns come from the verb. And so every noun comes from a verb. And the verb is almost, it's just like Ruach also. It's 7306, 7307. The first usage is in Genesis 8:21. We're not going to go there, but it translates smell. And it means to blow. So the verb means to blow. And many times it translates smell. So we have to, our concept of what of this word spirit that we've been brought up with is really deviated from its actual meaning and foundation. So this is Yahweh's word. He used it. Even spirit is Latin for what?
Spirit to
breath.
Okay.
It's Latin for breath. You know, so pneuma, you know, which is the Greek word, is where we get pneumonia, pneumatic, and it's air in motion. It's no difference right here, but we've got a different situation here many times in our minds that we have to correct. So, the literal usage, obviously, on any words, in Yahweh's word, every word has a literal meaning. So we have to understand this. There's a literal meaning. If it doesn't have a literal meaning, it means nothing. It has to be anchored. Even a figure off that literal has to be anchored to a literal, or otherwise it means absolutely nothing. And anybody can come up with anything that they want at any particular time, and there's no anchor. So every word has to have a literal meaning. We can say, wind. Wind, we know what wind is. It's air in motion. That's the literal meaning. But if I say, he's full of hot wind, or he's full of wind, well, that is the figure, but still air in motion, and they're talking about him speaking. But it's a figure, but you have to have a literal. So that Yahweh's word, the first time they're used, has to be the literal meaning, which is Genesis 1:2, which we know, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and the earth without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elohim, was brooding upon the face of the water. That's the first usage of Ruach.
Brooding?
No, so the Spirit. And actually, the Hebrew Bible translates the wind was brooding on the water. The best way to do it is just to say Ruach. And then, if we say the word wind, that does not mean breath, right?
Right.
It does not mean air, motion, no. So, by us trying to break in on how somebody else is doing it for us by putting in what they think it's going to imply. And so in essence, that voice would be, and the breath of God was brooding upon the face of the water. But they're going to say, no, that's not what we mean. Well, that's what spirit means. That's the word. Spirit is Latin for breath. And we know that rest of spirit, inspired, expired, which is breathe out. So it's all the way through here. So we have to start grabbing these things if we want truth and deliverance. And so that's the first usage, and so that's the literal usage. Now we go to Numbers 11:25, and we're going to be looking at power of walking by the Spirit. So our summation is power. And here's what I'm going to tie in at the end. We rented a 2025 car, Toyota, and these cars actually want to try to drive themselves. And as you're driving the steering wheel, this is the first time I had this, and it's following the lines, and so when you're going around a curve, it starts turning. I didn't turn it. It's turning itself, which I don't like. But the speed also, if you're coming up behind a car and you have a cruise control on, it will start decelerating when it sees out of the car. Well, it reminded me of Ruach. So Ruach is a great illustration. If you have, if you be given the gift of Ruach, it's going to be senses. You know, there's going to be stimulation that's going to happen. It doesn't control. So the steering wheel doesn't just make you don't lose control. It's just giving you a suggestion. You better turn over here. And, well, I don't want to turn here because I'm going to cross a white line. And so I override it. All right, but we've got to understand, spirit's always a suggestion. And if we have our senses tuned in, we will get the right information. Because I want to follow the spirit. Because I said, well, I'm going this way. It's like, And so I've got a leaning to go something else. I'm like, I better check on that. But look, I'm going here because I said I'm going here. And the Apostle Paul did this by a mistake. When he was going to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, as you saw, he ended up in prison for 2 years of his life. Time after time after time, Yahweh sent things to stop him from doing it. But he had, so the Spirit is by a prophet, Agabus prophesied to him. I think it was Agabus. Other people prophesied to him, don't go. But he went ahead anyway, and it's almost his death. And so we want to learn from those lessons.
That's why
he's the Apostle Paul. Well, it doesn't make any difference. People make a mistake. Peter made a mistake. Solomon made a mistake. Adorned, anointed leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, make mistakes. And a lot of times it's to their demise. So we go to Numbers 11:25, and this is some good illustration of the power of Ruach that we need to be going by. So 11:25. Then Yahweh came down in a cloud and spake unto him, which is Moses, and took of the Ruach that was upon him, and gave unto the 70 men the elders. So, as you can see, we've got another thing too. The Spirit is not a deity. And so this Holy Spirit is not a deity. As you can see right here, they got a small s right here. There was a power on Moses for judging that Yahweh, and Moses says, I can't do this anymore. He said, okay, bring 70 men here, and I'm going to take the Spirit that's on you and give it to them.
And so they're all
going to be empowered to do your function. So you're shifting the load.
But he didn't take it away from Moses.
No. Let's just keep going. In verse 29.
Sounds weird.
But Moses said unto him, art thou jealous of me? Oh, would that all the people of Yahweh were prophets. Yea, let Yahweh put his Ruach upon them. So you see in the context of Ruach with power, because in this particular situation, he's talking about prophets have Ruach. That means that Yahweh can speak to them, Yahweh can guide them, and they can communicate that out. This is how it's done. Your illustration. Now we're going to look at Judges on the power of Ruach, walking in the Spirit. Judges 3:10. And the book of Judges is just full of this thing. We're going to go through the book of Judges, and it's called the Spirit of Yahweh, the Ruach of Yahweh, 3:10. Let's see here. And the Ruach of Yahweh, who we're looking at? Othniel?
Othniel.
And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and Yahweh delivered into his hands these people. But we're going to see in Judges the Spirit, the Ruach of Yahweh, which is an invincible force, its power that came upon him. Chapter 6, verse 34.
Would you repeat that again?
Chapter 6, verse 34.
But the Ruach of Yahweh clothed Gideon. So he blew with a horn, and Ebenezer was gathered after him. And we know what happened. The power of Gideon delivered Israel. We go to 11:29. Chapter 11, verse 29. Then came upon Jephthah, the Ruach of Yahweh, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mishpeth of Gilead, and on and on. And he, obviously, he delivered Israel. 13:25. And who is this? Oh, this is on Samson. It was always on Samson. So the woman bore a son, called his name Samson, and the boy grew, and Yahweh blessed him. And the Ruach of Yahweh began to urge him. Here we go. See, that's walking by the Spirit. The Ruach of Yahweh began to urge him to and fro in the camp of Dan. And we know the power that came upon Samson. Okay, let's keep going. That's 13. Let's go to 14:6. Still with Samson, I would assume. And the spirit of the Ruach of Yahweh came suddenly over him, and he tore him in pieces, the lion, as he had been torn in pieces, the kid, there being nothing at all in his hands. We know about that incident. Verse 19. And the spirit of Yahweh came suddenly over him, and he went down to Ashkelon and spoke with him 30 men. There we go, power. 15:14. Let's see here. And he was coming in as far as Lehi, and the Philistines came shouting to meet him, when the spirit of Yahweh came suddenly over him, and the ropes that were upon his arm became as threads of flax. So we're seeing power upon power upon power. Let's look at David. 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. And when we're seeing, you know, one thing, we're watching some movies and producing about David, and which is very good, about him becoming king and killing a lion and a bear. But just remember, he killed a lion and a bear after he was anointed. Just like Samson killed a lion after he is anointed. They had him where just this tough guy without a spirit killing lions and bears. No. David, you can see right here, David, 10:6. Let's see. Then will come suddenly upon thee the spirit of Yahweh, and thou shalt be moved to prophesy. Oh, no, that's this is to Saul. Oh. But this, you know, he was anointed the spirit of Yahweh, and thou shalt be moved to prophesy with him and be changed into another man. That's the result of the spirit of Yahweh. 16. This is David. Chapter 16, same chapter, same book. 16:13-14. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of Yahweh came what? Mightily upon David from that day forward. Then arose Samuel and went his way into Ramah. But the spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and there terrified him an evil or a sad spirit from Yahweh. So the spirit removed from Saul, so his power now is gone. The power is on David, and is removed from Saul. So this is walking by the Spirit. Let's go into Luke 24:49. Now we're going to talk about Holy Rock. In the Old Covenant, and here's another fact too, the word Testament is not in the Hebrew or Greek text. It's the word Covenant. So it's not a New Testament or Old Testament. It's Old Covenant or Old or New Covenant. A Testament has nothing to do with a covenant. You know, a covenant is a bilateral agreement. A testament is a unilateral. So I can have a last will and testament where I make a decision and nobody else is making that decision for me. So this is not the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the Old Covenant and New Covenant. So Rotherham only has the word covenant, and so does Young only has the word covenant. There is the word no testament. That's just a mistake. But I digress. Luke 24:49. Uh, And lo, I am sending forth the promise my father upon you, but tarry you in the city until you be clothed from on high with what? Power. Power. And we know what that power was, is spirit, and we see that in the book of Acts. And that's why Acts should follow Luke and not John. John should not follow, John should be in the front of the book of Revelation, not after the book of Luke. Because if we see Acts 1, 4 and 5,
slow down.
Well, I'm covering a lot of areas, so you just listen if you can't keep up. 4 and 5, and being in company with them, he charged them from Jerusalem not to absent themselves, but to abide around the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. Because John and Johanan indeed immersed with water, but ye in holy Ruach shall be immersed after not many of these days. Okay. And we know in Luke it says, clothed with power on high. This is the power. And this is the day of Pentecost. And we go to Acts 2:16. But this is that which had been spoken through the prophet Joel. Peter was saying, and it shall be in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my Ruach upon all the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, we're going to get into a place, too, of the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. And that's a whole different meaning of what we're talking about. Right? Which we're going to make a distinction between. That's going to be in a figure, not in a literal sense. This is a literal sense. When the power comes on, you're going to prophesy, right? And your young men, visions shall see, and your elders, in dreams shall dream. And even upon my maidservant, upon my maidservant, in those days will I pour out my Ruach, and they shall prophesy. That is the power that we're talking about. In 32, the same Yahushua hath Yahweh raised up, whereof all we are witnesses. By the right hand of Yahweh, therefore, having been exalted, also the promise, there is the promise of the Holy Ruach, having received from the Father, he hath poured out this which yourselves do see and hear. So Yahushua is anointing, pouring out Ruach upon people who make him their Lord. That's power that he's pouring out. And the reason why everybody can have it now instead of just apostles and prophets, you know, or kings, is because he has sanctified us and cleansed us so we're as pure as he is. Which means we qualify for Holy Ruach. And it's not going to be extracted like it was with Saul, King Saul. Because of his qualification. So it's a gift that you'll never lose. You might not operate it. It might go dead silent. It's like your cell phone. If you turn off your cell phone, it's not going to do anything. It might be in your pocket, but it's not going to do anything. Is it the potential? Yes, but you have to turn it on. You have to activate it. If you don't activate it, there's no power. It's just potential power. So it's like dynamite. So, you know, stick of dynamite is potential power. If I light it, it becomes active power or dynamic power. Or now we go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see here. Yeah, I got that. 2:16, 17, got 32. 1 Corinthians 12:7. And why we're doing this real quick is because I'm going to make a distinction between the Spirit, the Word of Spirit, used in Galatians and Romans, compared to the Spirit used here in power. So the Spirit, which we're going to see a contrast here, all right? This is the literal Spirit is in 1 Corinthians 12.
Well, what?
7 to 11. It's going to name the attributes. Let's see here. When you get into Galatians and Romans, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Wait a minute,
Galatians.
Yeah, but those can have, anybody can have that, whether you have spirit or not.
Okay.
Right? Can an unbelieving believer have peace? Can they have love? Can they have joy? Yes, they can. So, there's a difference here. There's a difference here. Can an unbeliever prophesy? No. Can an unbeliever speak in tongues? No. Can the unbeliever have word of knowledge? No. Can less than 9 manifestations of this spirit called power that only a believer has? 7. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But unto each one is given manifesting of the Ruach, with a view to that which is profitable. Unto one indeed through the Ruach is given a word of wisdom. Unbelievers can't have that. To another a word of knowledge, according to the same Ruach. Unto a different one, faith in the same Ruach. Unto another, gifts of healing in one Ruach. Unto another, energies of mighty works. Unto another, prophesying. And to another, discrimination of spirits, and to a different one kind of tongues, and to another translation of tongues. These are the 9 manifestations of power that we have inside us. An unbeliever can't do that. Now, let's go into Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at another usage of spirit, but I wouldn't call it, let's just look at 5. Let's see, verse 16 to 26. Galatians 5:16-26. And Romans and Galatians are going to be kind of centered on this. The antonym of spirit is what? Flesh. What's the opposite of spirit? According to this,
flesh.
What's the opposite of flesh?
Spirit.
That's not how these other cases we're using this, when we're looking at the power. So there's a teaching in here that's using spirit as a figure. And so when it's, many times when it's talked about, a person, their spirit left them, in battle. I mean, they're not dead, but they've just given up. Their energy has left them. We know that's using a figurative sense. When we're talking about, wind, when somebody says he's full of
hot air,
or he's full of wind, or he's passing wind, it has nothing to do with the word wind. It has everything to do with a figure of what we call wind. And so we know what that is. So these usages in Romans and Galatians are going to be different. And I say moreover, 16, I say moreover, by Ruach be walking, and fleshy coveting you will no wise fulfill. For the flesh coveted against the spirit. So we're looking at a whole different conversation here. The flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit. And it has no place back in the old covenant. But for the flesh coveted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these unto one another are opposite. Lest whatsoever things you chance to desire, these shall be doing. For if by spirit you are being led, you are not under law. Manifest, however, the works of the flesh, which indeed are, so a believer and an unbeliever can do the works of the flesh. We're all agree to that.
Yeah.
Fornication, impurity, wantonness, idolatry, enchantments, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, faction, divisions, parties, envies, drunkenness, revelings, and such as these, as to which I forewarn you, even as I have forewarned you, that they who such things as these do practice shall not inherit Yahweh's kingdom. Now, in contrast to the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, graciousness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. There's also 9. There's 9 manifestations of the Spirit, which is power. Now, these 9 are fruits of when you're not walking by the flesh.
The opposite.
So wait a minute. It's not talking about Holy Ruach as we look at it as power. Now, it's talking to us about Spirit, but we know that many people can offer self-control. An unbeliever can offer self-control. They can be meek. They can be good. They can be faithful. They can be gracious. And there's many people who reject Christ But do a lot of good things. And they could be a Hindu or Mahatma Gandhi or all these Hindu priests and things like that. They can manifest this. They cannot speak in tongues. They cannot talk for us. They cannot do this because they don't have Holy Ruach. This they can do. So we've got to make that distinction. Let's see here. Now, then that was the illustration of, make sure you keep Romans and Galatians in that perspective, but we're talking about power walk, where all of a sudden you're going to be bringing deliverance, and you're going to be in communion, a really good illustration, a communion with Yahweh. And a communion is to be in one. Let's see here. Okay. And here's it's a quietness. And we're going to give you a good illustration of a guy named Philip Doddridge, and he's how to start your day. How do you get in communion with Yahweh? When you wake up, how are you registering? And so you're at peace and you're in control of your day, because there's going to be, we're in the world, but we're not out of the world. You're entering the world, you're being part of the world, but you must prepare yourself to be able to receive the communications that you need. And we're going to see that with example of David. 1 Samuel 23. And he's a great example. Everybody can look at David walking by the Spirit. That he was anointed with. It was a gift. It wasn't just great insight. 23, verse 2. 1 Samuel 23, verse 2. And this is when Saul was after him. And so David inquired of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" So he's in touch. He's in communion with Father. So if anybody knows, if you read the Psalms of David, he spends a lot of time by himself, with Yahweh. He's praising Yahweh. He's in touch with Yahweh. You can see that. And these Psalms that are coming out, are just phenomenal on the communication that he had. But let's go on to, so David inquired of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And Yahweh said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Kelad." Kelad. Okay, he's getting guidance. And with the Ruach, we do the same things. Can I go on this trip? Should I go on vacations? I'm checking in. I'm listening. Do I have any resistance? I'm waiting for that sensation of the steering wheel goes, whoop.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute here. Maybe let's do this a little bit longer. And so sometimes it feels like that, but all of a sudden then it goes away. Okay, then everything's fine. But, or else, here's where I'm going, because that's my senses. I think that's what you want. If it's a wrong decision, let me know. And Yahweh will let you know. And you got to be listening, paying attention to the moving. Now we go to verse 14, same chapter. Then said David, "O Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, thy servant hath heard that Saul is seeking to come unto Keilah, to destroy the city for my sake." Now he's asking, "Will the owners of Keilah surrender me unto his hands? Will Saul come down as thy servant has heard?" Now, this is supernatural. I'm trying to get the information. "Well, Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I pray thee, tell thy servant." And Yahweh said, "He will come down." Okay, I got that. Oh, okay, since he's coming down, next question. Then said David, "Will the owners of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hands of Saul?" And Yahweh said, what?
They will
surrender. Good. Second question. Because that means I got to get out of Keilah, which he did, and it saved his life and his men's life. Otherwise, they would have been surrounded. So, that is walking by the Spirit. And we know that with Apostle Paul, Acts 16. So these are all illustrations for us to learn from, 1635 to 36. Let's see here, 6010. Wait a minute, I got something wrong here. 35 to 36. No, that's not right. Okay, 6010. Okay, let's see here. Oh, 16. I don't know where I got 35. 6 and 10. Let's just go to chapter 16, verse 6. This is Paul and the people going, you know, evangelizing the word of Yahweh. And they pass through Phrygia and Galatia country, being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Okay, that was the Ruach, you know, Holy Ruach telling him, don't go to Asia. But coming from Mysia, they were continuing to journey into the Bithynian, and the Ruach of Yahushua suffered them not. Another one, okay, this is why we contact, and this is where we're going. They, to their mind's eye, these is what we should be doing. And so you have to make your own decision. Just walk your walk and don't freeze yourself to say, should I go left, should I go right, what should I do, should I get out of bed, not get out of bed, should I eat, should I not eat? Now don't be stupid. You are being led by the Ruach of HaKodesh. You are being led, and you make your decisions, and then be sensitive. If Yahweh wants to readjust those, he will do that. But passing by Mysia, they came down to Taurus, and a vision by night unto Paul appeared, and a man of Macedonia was there standing and beseeching him and saying, come over into Macedonia and bring us succor. And he knew the vision. Okay. So that's the same situation. That's the Ruach of Yahweh. So, a good illustration is the preparation. So we have the Ruach. How do we manifest it? And I thought a very good way is prophecy. You know, speaking in tongues is very important. You do that first. But speaking in tongues, tribulation, or prophecy, and how do you prophesy or you speak in tongues? No different than me reading these words and speaking them out loud. You know, I didn't hear these. I'm seeing these and I'm speaking them out loud. Well, you have the Ruach inside you, and so when you're praying for somebody and some words start coming, just speak the words.
Oh.
Just speak the words.
It's like it's real.
And then it will, you know, when it stops, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how prophecy works. That's how speaking in tongues. You start speaking in tongues, be a shelter, be a and you start speaking in language you don't know. And when it's time to stop, you'll know it's time to stop. And then you start speaking in English. And as you speak, the words come. And that's prophecy also. So it starts tuning you into the moving of how Ruach works, Holy Ruach works inside us. The more you become sensitive to that, the more you can register it when it's there and when it's not there. So you're checking in. And this guy, we'll just put this on our Smith Wigglesworth site, and he had an activity of his day. You know, and this guy puts it on, you got to have your day done correctly. The well-spent day. If you're not in the habit of tuning in the morning to Yahweh, you're going to miss it. You know, because you're going to be running, you're watching TV, you're listening to the radio, it has nothing to do with Yahweh ever, you're going to work, everything else, you're missing it. You don't have a habit to be prepared. So this guy, it's called Well Spent Day. In the beginning of the day, it should certainly be our care to lift up our hearts to God as soon as we awake, and while we are rising, and then to set ourselves seriously and immediately to the secret devotions of the morning. And he goes through what he does in the morning. You know, he, you know, first thing, good morning, Lord, in your name, go. All right? reads a word, you pray, you can hear some songs. You know, we had the Word of Promise, which is the audio Bible, which is going in the house. And so as you're eating breakfast, you're taking a shower, here's the book of Deuteronomy, here's the book of Psalms being read, and that can activate, Yahweh can utilize that information to activate a calling or something. You go, oh, I never thought about that. And you go run off and you go activate it. And so then he goes, and he's got one here, seriousness and devotions, whether public or domestic. Let's take a few months before we enter upon such to pause and reflect on the perfection of the God we are addressing. So the humbling, addressing yourself before God. As for the hours of worldly business, I'm turning into my business. I'm going out into a world that is not part of Christ. The observation of providence. Am I paying attention to when Yahweh is providing for me? Is this job provided by Yahweh? You know, I can provide for other people. Let's see here. Our watchfulness against temptation. Are you watching for temptation to come your way? Are you prepared for that temptation? Do I have verses for that? I rebuke that. You know, the temptation to steal, or to kill, or to lust. If any of that stuff's on your phone, on your TV set, you just got to get rid of it. You can't coexist with those temptations. As for your dependence on divine grace for influence, I am asking for your hand upon me this day to provide me with everything that I need to do your will for this company and for my family and for your family. How about for the government of our thoughts and solitude? For the government of our thoughts and solitude, let us accustom ourselves on all occasions to exercise a due command over our thoughts. Are you controlling your thoughts? Or are they just, And lastly, the government of our discourse. In company, we should take great care that nothing may escape us which can expose us us or our Christian profession to censure and reproach. Nothing injurious to those who are absent or to those who are present. Nothing malignant or insincere. Nothing which may corrupt. Nothing which may provoke or mislead those about us. And when somebody does that, you know what you do? You correct them. Whoop. Don't talk about that person here. No. You know, I'm a Christian. We don't go with that. And then the closing of the day. For secret devotions in the evening, I would propose a method something different from that in the morning, but still as in with due allowance for circumstances which make unthought of altercations proper. I would advise you to read a portion of Scripture. You know, you've got to read the Scriptures. You know, did I wake up with God this morning and rise with a grateful sense of His goodness? And so here's an evaluation. My day. Okay, let's check on my evaluation. So a lot of these guys have books each day. You know, Benjamin Franklin saw that on the awakening. And here's my virtue that I'm practicing this week is gratitude. For this virtue. But it is a direct habit that you're trying to do to make yourself Christ-like.
Being intentional.
Yeah, being intentional. You're right. And did I wake up with God this morning and rise with a grateful sense of His goodness? How were the secret devotions of the morning performed? Did I offer my soul in praise and renew the dedication of myself to God? Was becoming attention to suitable effects? Well, I don't have time. Then yes, you do. You're just not going to make the time. Everybody can do this in a half hour, 45 minutes each day. Well, I don't have been given a half hour later. You know, go to sleep a half hour later. I guarantee you're going to watch a half hour of television, if not an hour, hour and a half of television. All right, which is fine. I conclude with noticing the segment which we should compose ourselves to sleep. It becomes us to think of the divine goodness and adding another day and the mercy of it to the former days and mercy of our life to take notice of the indulgence of providence and given us commodious habitation and easy beds, and continue to us such health of body that we can lay ourselves down at ease upon him, and such serenity of mind that leaves us any room to hope for refreshing sleep, a refreshment to be sought not merely as an indulgence to animal nature, but as our wise creator, in order to keep us humble in the midst of so many infirmities. So I would suggest this, you know, and we got his book on our site. It's called, in more detail, he wrote this in 1745, The Rise and Progress of Religion for the Soul, and it's under Philip Doddridge on our Smith Wiggles on our Catalyst Ministry site at the bottom of the home page, and has all these different things that are available to start activating and disciplining yourselves. And which this guy was really disciplined. And so, we can always become more disciplined. So we're in there, and so we need to walk by the Ruach HaKodesh. It's the power. And be sensitive to it. And if we don't, we're just wasting the resources. And ask Father, ask Christ, guide me. Christ is our head. All right. Yahweh's placing the body as it pleases him. Thank you for pleasing me and putting me in the body as it pleases you. I need that Ruach to be activated, which will be activated as I go forth in order to do your will and to avoid, you know, life-threatening situations. So many times you can save your life by, you know, I think of 9/11, where people are in the World Trade Towers. How many people were told not to go to work? But I gotta go to work. Don't go to work. Well, I gotta go to work because this is a big deal today. And some stayed home, others went to work. What happened?
They died.
And so we'll see that many times with, you know, Apostle Paul almost died because he had good intentions. It wasn't your disobedience, but you better be wise.
Like David.
Yeah, like David, and tuning in, and that doesn't make any sense. Verify it, maybe talk to your spouse. Do you have anything on that? Yeah, somebody else, confirmation. Okay, I'm staying home. Okay, enough of that. So we'll have a prophecy, a manifestation of the Ruach for the people. And Father, we thank you for these words. Speak peace and speak justice to the world around you. In it is injustice and anarchy. So you must be a witness of the peace and prosperity that I promise in my word to those who hear to my word, so you can have that prosperity and that peace, and the world can see this and want to emulate you as you tell them how you received it. Amen. See you next week.